Iambic Audiobooks presents Wrath of the Lemming Men by Toby Frost. Read by Clive Catterall. Prologue. The Battle of the Tam Valley. By dawn it was clear to General Young that General Wickwat's drive to capture Varenor had ground to a halt. The colonial army had displayed remarkable courage in the face of a frenzied assault, yet the Lemming Men pressed on. Unable to disgrace himself with acts of self-preservation, General Wickwat threw his reserves into the fray as the 112th Army prepared to strike the death blow. The Official History of the War Against the Lemming Men, Galactic War Office.
Many and arrogant were the Yull, sure that their early success would bring them certain victory. Yet we Malak made ready, and our humans too, and fiercely the Yull were met among the trees. Not cowardly were our warriors, and not light the grievous slaying in that gory vale. For severed heads, piles of lemming men, the squeaking of fallen rodents, these are pleasing things to us.
The Saga of Varenor, verse 613.
In an unprovoked act of self-defense, the off-worlder scum turned on our friendly and entirely non-genocidal army. The dirty foe fought unreasonably for their lives, and urgently the splendid General Wickwat ordered our reserves under noble-born Colonel Vok to attack from the north and mercilessly butcher the enemy, for their own good, of course.
Final, terminal report of Lieutenant General Prang, Divine Amiable Yulian Army. Agshad Nineswords leaned back in his deck chair and studied the sky above. It was a clear, hot day, and the sun streaked through the high trees, throwing bars of light across the glorified pillbox that he called home. The sun made Agshad feel strong and keen. It was a good day for adventurous deeds, and so he had taken the accounts books into the garden. He sat outside on a deck chair, calculator on his lap, sleeves rolled up, occasionally looking up from his books to frown and stroke his mandibles and chin. Later on, he decided, he would lock up the little fort, take the jeep across the bridge, and say hello to the main garrison 5 miles east at Tambridge. A running figure appeared at the far side of the bridge. Agshad shielded his eyes and peered. It was a man in army uniform, his arm in an improvised sling. He vanished behind one of the great timber pillars of the bridge, reappeared, looked behind him, stumbled, rose and lurched on. Perturbed, Agshad got up and strode out to meet him. As he looked down the length of the bridge, he recognized the man.
"Eddie," he called, "are you all right?"
Eddie half collapsed on him.
"They're in the trees," he gasped. "They're coming."
"Who's coming?"
"Them! The Yull!"
"But the Yull are miles away, Eddie."
"No, no!"
Unable to speak, Eddie bent over and panted.
"The garrison's down," he managed. "All dead. Yull came. Thousands of them. They killed everyone. Brian, Clary, even old Joe. Tambridge is fallen."
"Oh, my ancestors," Agshad said.
"We fought to the last man. Can't let 'em get you, the bastards. They sent me to warn you."
"How many?"
Agshad began, and as if to answer him, high voices pulsed through the forest beyond the bridge, a hard, impatient chant, "Yull! Yull! Yull!"
"It's an army," Eddie gasped. "We've got to warn HQ."
Drums and gongs through the trees, the sound of wild shrieks and cracking whips.
"Yull! Yull! Yull!"
"We're too late," Eddie cried. Agshad rooted about in his pockets and took out a key.
"I'll deal with this," he said. "Take the jeep and go and warn headquarters. I'll delay them as long as I can."
Eddie looked hard at him for a moment, then nodded. "All right. Good luck, Agshad."
"You too,"
Agshad said mildly, and as the battered jeep coughed into life behind him, he strolled onto the empty bridge. The Yull rushed over the horizon like a tidal wave of fur. 1,000 sleek bodies slipped between the trees, axes glinted, forage caps bobbed, banners flapped, human skulls grinned and shook on banner poles. And amid the horde came the squeaky voices of the looting, murdering lemming men of Yull. They poured down the hill, squeaking and yelling, the officers beating their maddened soldiers onto the river's edge. Agshad picked up the broom he used to sweep the bridge. Suddenly a voice barked, "Hop, hop! Hop, 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 hop!" And the lemming men stopped dead. They halted at the edge of the bridge in a crowd, desperate to pour across, but lacking the orders to do so. The army stretched along the opposite bank as far as Agshad could see. To the right, a lemming man pointed into the swirling waters of the Tam and made excitable sounds until a sergeant tripped him and tore out his heart. The Jarl did not tolerate indiscipline. The horde parted before Agshad, and a figure stepped onto the bridge. He wore the cuirass, helmet, and enormous shoulder pads of a high-ranking officer, but Agshad could have told his status had he been naked. The puffed-out chest, the swaggering walk. The Yellian officer class were not only vicious sadists, but insufferably pompous as well.
"You!" the officer barked. "Dirty Offworlder!"
"Morning," Agshad said.
"Hurrup! I am Colonel Mimko Vok of the Sacred Army of Yellia. The war god of the Jarl, in his divine wisdom as interpreted by the high priests of the Jarl, has decreed that it is to be the Jarl who will rule this galaxy."
"There's a surprise."
"Shup! This bridge is now the property of the Greater Galactic Happiness, Friendship, and Cooperation Collective. So beat it, Malak Trash, or I will torture you to death."
Agshad reached out and tapped a small brass plaque fixed to the timber.
"I think you will find that this bridge is the property of the Army of the British Space Empire. I represent their accounts department, and as the highest ranking officer present, I forbid you to make use of it."
"British Space Empire? Pah!"
Vox snorted, hands twitching towards the axe at his waist.
"I am not here to speak with animals. How dare you address me so, human coward lackey? Surrender at once, so I can tear out your still beating—"
A look of rudimentary cunning stole across his whiskered face, and he calmed himself with a shudder.
"Liberate you from the yoke of serving the British oppressor."
Agshad shook his head.
"Sorry, no. I refuse to join an army which practices human sacrifice and has no adequate pension plan. We Malak are wise to you, which, incidentally, is why we are helping the humans trounce your army downriver."
"Lying offworlder who is lower than a beast and smells of cheese! The divine migration cannot be halted by scum like you."
"Then why are you here with all these reinforcements?" "The truth is that your furry legion came down to the woods today and you got a big surprise. Not a picnic anymore, is it?"
"Nobody compares me to a soft toy," Vok yelled back. "Dirty, weak offworlders get nothing but death. You are lucky if I kill you quick, big smelly coward. You will die slow, yes, slow."
Agshad thought of Eddie and imagined him tearing down the dirt road in the jeep. He would probably have reached the main camp by now. Perhaps he was in a tent with General Young herself, pointing out the Yellian advance on the map. He smiled.
"You smirk at me. If you had whiskers, I would pull them out, nice and slow. I will wear your kneecaps on my—"
Vok paused, speechless with fury.
"On my knees."
Agshad shrugged.
"But you are brave for an offworlder," Vok hissed. "Most would have begged for mercy by now."
He leaned forward and spoke more gently.
"I will give you something for your defiance. If you turn away and leave now, I will let you live. And when we are done killing your allies as gradually as possible, I will reward you and make you a retainer of my house. A fair offer, I think."
"Indeed."
Agshad leaned in as if to reply quietly.
"It sounds good.
But—" He tilted his head back, sniffing the air. The lemming frowned.
"But what?"
"I smell a rat."
For a moment, Agshad thought Colonel Vok was going to pop. The Jarl drew back as if struck, shook violently, turned on the spot, and punched one of his lieutenants in the eye.
"Right, that's it!"
Vok gestured to his men. "Hup, hup!" Agshad glanced over his shoulder. 60 feet beneath the bridge, the waters of the Tam slapped and broke upon the rocks. Agshad thought they would be 3 abreast on the bridge, and it would be hard for them to fight the urge to jump. He could keep them back for a while. A Yellian knight shouldered his way through the horde, a fat brute in blue plate armor. He braced himself, raised his axe over his head like an executioner, screamed a battle cry and charged.
"Yellai!"
he shrieked, and stopped dead as the bristle end of Akshad's broom struck him in the mouth. He made muffled noises, chewing at the bristles in his rage, and Agshad turned and deftly shoved him over the railings. Vok's champion dropped into the rapids, whooping with demented glee. The Tam had claimed its first victim. Agshad felt tranquil and absolutely confident, as if the sun had risen anew and bathed him in its rays. He was where he was meant to be. His whole life had been leading to this moment, decades as a warrior, followed by the rigorous discipline of accountancy. He looked down at the river, where the body of the Jarl bumped against the bank.
"One?" Akshad said.
The Jarl poured howling onto the bridge. Akshad whirled the broom, braining one and knocking a second flat. The third limbing man fell over the second, and Akshad leapt up and kicked a fourth in the snout. The bodies of the Jarl began to pile up, and more clambered over them. Akshad pressed on, tallying his kills as he waded into the foe. It was turning into a beautiful day, a morning's bookkeeping, and then a fight to the death, all in very clement weather. One could not have wished for a better end to life. Akshad's only regret was that his offspring could not see him. They would have been quite impressed. He kicked a lemming man over the railing.
14, he cried. "Ancestors of mine, children of mine, watch me now, for this is how I die."
Surak the Slayer was suddenly awake. He had been sleeping in the traditional way, squatting on a stool like some great bird of prey. In one movement, he sprang down from his perch and landed softly in the middle of the room, silent except for the hiss of the blade as he slid it from its sheath. He stood there, in a fighting crouch, tasting the air, his shrewd eyes flicking around the room. "I felt something," he thought. "Something was here. Something very wrong."
"Who is there?" he asked softly, speaking the language of his forefathers for no reason he could understand. "Father, is it you?"
The shadows did not answer.
"It must have been the curry," Surak said, and he shrugged and went back to sleep.